Ok, Xamarin.iOS. Let's do a step back. I'm not saying this because I work for Microsoft, because I'm saying this since many years before joining Microsoft. But iOS development is the most complex one between the three different mobile platforms, because it relies on some concepts and approaches which are not familiar to a Microsoft or Java developer. The language is different, there are a lot of things that can be done only with the designer, so no code. And it can be scaring for .NET developers that faces iOS development for the first time. Xamarin helps a lot, but you still have to deal with some of the weird things of the iOS development. Obviously, I'm saying weird things because I come from the Visual Studio world, so maybe for an iOS developer, the Visual Studio things can be weird. But if Android and Windows are similar, not saying that they are the same, but Java is not that different from C Sharp, you still have objects, you still have tools, they work in the similar, you have XML to define the UI. iOS is a completely different world and a completely different approach. So, which are the fundamentals of developing apps for iOS? You need a Mac with at least OS X 10.9.4. You need Xcode, which is the environment, the tool used by Apple developers to create iOS apps. And you need Xamarin iOS, of course. And you need, if you want to use Visual Studio, you need a PC. You can also decide to use Xamarin Studio and work directly on the Mac. Personally, I don't... Xamarin Studio is good, but it's not Visual Studio. So it has good features, it's improving release by release, but it's not Visual Studio. So Visual Studio is still the most powerful environment to create Xamarin apps. As I told you before, you have a chance to connect your Windows machine to your Mac machine. They need to be connected to the same network, and also the Xamarin iOS version needs to be synchronized. So you have to make sure that you install the same version of Xamarin iOS both on the Windows machine and on the Mac machine. And this can be, for example, for the service I'm using, Mac in a Cloud, can be problematic because you need to wait that, since you are not administrator of the machine, you can't install or update packages, so you need to wait that the managers of the Mac in Cloud service updates Xamarin iOS on all the machines. How does it work in application? Which is the life cycle that happens when the user starts the application? It taps on the icon, the application starts. You have a main class, which is the entry point of the application, and it takes care of creating the real application, so the real starting point in the application. The real starting point of the application, it's another class, which is called AppDelegate, which instead it's the one that takes care of managing the system events and especially to start the application window, which is the window that manages the user interface, and to launch the main interface, so the first page of the application. You have this, usually when you create a new Xamarin iOS project, you'll never touch the main code, because it's just a static class that takes care of initializing the required infrastructure. And then you have the concept of storyboards. So the storyboards, we will see it later in detail, so we'll see them. It's the way how you define the user interface of the application. And every view in the application is connected to a view controller. The view controller is the class that takes care of interacting with that view. So it manages the interaction with the user, it displays the data to the user, and so on. The name can be familiar to you because iOS development is based on MVC. So you have the view, you have the controller, and you have the model. So you have the model, which is the layer of the app that describes the data. You have the view, which is the storyboard that describes the UI. And you have the view controller, which is in the middle and takes the data from the model and passes it to the view. How the package of an iOS application is composed? iOS requires that all the resources are placed in the root folder. This is against my personal approach when you create a new project. Luckily, Xamarin is smart enough to do that for you. So you have a resource folder, you have stuff into the resource folder, and then at compile time, it takes care of copying everything into the root. So you don't have to have a messy project. And also in this case, we have a specific build action, which is called bundle resource, for every resource that needs to be accessed by the application, like images. Also in this case, we have a similar approach to Windows Phone or Android. We have a folder naming convention to manage the different resolutions. In this case, things are easier because there are fewer models, or if there aren't 45,000 models of iPhone. So it's easier to manage the images. Actually, you have three different resolutions to manage: the original iPhone, even if I don't know if someone is still supporting it, and then you have the Retina iPhones and the iPhone 6 Plus, which has a bigger screen. And you can create images and add a naming convention, not on the folder, but on the file name. So for example, you can have an image.png, which is used by default, and then you can have an image at 2multiplier.png. This image is used on the iPhone Retina. Or you can have image 2, you can have this naming convention to have a specific image that you want to use on the iPhone or on the iPad, because iOS as the concept of universal apps, which means applications that runs both on iPhone and iPad. So typically, in a universal app, the MVC pattern is applied that you have the same controller that is controlling two different views. So the same controller is managing the views for the iPhone and the views for the iPad, because the page will do the same thing, but with a different layout, because on the iPad you want to optimize the layout for the bigger screen. Also in iOS you have a sort of concept of manifest. In this case are called info plist and entitlements plist. The info plist contains all the information about the configuration of the application. So you define the main entry point, the orientation you support, if you want to display the status bar of the phone, the color, stuff like that. And then you have the entitlements, which is instead the file used to configure all the additional features that Apple provides. So if you want to use iCloud, HealthKit, push notifications, you have a way to add all the keys and all the parameters that are required to use this kind of services. And here comes the fun part. So things have improved a lot, because when I started to see iOS development, there was the concept of XIB files. XIB files were the view, basically, where the main point that displays the layout of an application, and each XIB files was mapped with a controller. The problem is that the XIB files were really rough, so you were able to design the user interface only with a designer. You don't have an XML behind it, or the other way around is to create the interface in code, which means new label, and everything is made with absolute positioning. So I want a new label at 50 pixels from here, 60 pixels from here, and stuff like that. It's not very intuitive to create an interface in code like this. And you have also to manage manually all the navigation. So if you want to navigate to another page, you needed a UI, a navigation controller, you need to manually to load the XIB, to manually push the view, to manually connect the controller to the view, so it wasn't so straightforward. Now we have storyboards, which are not so great as XAML or XML, but are still something better. Basically, a storyboard is a visual representation of all the screens of the app, and every screen is a scene. Every scene is a view with its own view controller. So storyboard is the large picture, and every screen into the storyboard is a view with a view controller. And inside the scene, you can add the controls and the objects that the user can use to manage interaction and display the data. Storyboards can be created by code. There's an XML behind it, but the XML is worse than creating the interface by code. It's not like the XAML, which is very simple to understand. So designer is really the only way for you to get things done, to get the layout. The designer is one of the things that relies on the Mac runtime. So when you open the designer, you need a Mac connected with the build host. Otherwise, the designer won't open because the rendering is made by the Mac and it's passed back to the Windows machine. Navigation is managed with a concept called segues. So a segue is something, is a transition between two scenes. You have multiple transitions, so you can perform a navigation, you can use other views, you can use popover. And the funny thing is that segues are created only in Designer. So you don't have anywhere in the code something like click the button, go to page 2. But if I have an idea to try to get back the virtual machine, I hope to do it. But otherwise, the only way to create a segue is to, for example, add a button in your user interface, then press Ctrl and start dragging a blue line from the button to the other scene. This way, the designer will create a segue, and it means that when the button is clicked, the user will be redirected to the other page. And this is how the designer looks like. So we have, for example, a view with its own view controller. The view controller is represented by this gray line. And then when you add a segue, an arrow is added to show you that you are moving from one page to the other. Let me try one thing. Maybe I can save the day, or maybe it's too late to save the day. Let's see. Let me try to launch this connection. No, I'm not writing anything. Great. Okay. Let's try again. I'm a little bit worried that tonight I have to take a flight. I don't know if it's the right day to take a flight. Well, if you don't get the slides, you'll know why. Hope not. Okay, let's try to force a logout on the Mac so it will kill all the application. And now let's try to log in again. So user 296. Making a cloud gives you this great combination of credentials that are easy to remind, to keep in mind, because it's a combination of random numbers.
one more time. I don't want to spend the whole day trying to... User 29636. Waiting. Oh, well. Let's see. Let's start the Xamarin iOS build host. Let's see. Ampere crashes. Okay, perfect. Never mind. Let me see if I can show you at least this. It's an image of how you create a segue to perform navigation. So you have added a button, and by clicking with the control button pressed, you drag the line over there. It will appear a pop-up that will ask you if you want to perform a standard navigation, modal navigation, and then everything happens. Personally, I don't like too much this approach because there is a two-type connection with the designer. So on Android and on Windows Phone, you have designers, you have Blend, which are very powerful, but it's up to you if you want to use it or not. Now, here instead, you are forced to use it. And the fact that we have created a segue can be seen only in the designer. I don't have any reference in the code to understand that I've created a segue from one view to another. So personally, I don't like too much this approach, but it's up to you. However, you have a set of things that you can do with segues. If in case you need to perform additional operations, one of the most common one is to perform to pass data to the other to another view, to another scene, and it's made by if every class that inherits from the UI view controller has a method called prepare for segue that you can override, and the method it's called right before performing the navigation. So what you can do is that in the property segue, which is a UI storyboard segue, you get a property called destination view controller, which holds a reference to the view controller of the view of the destination view. So basically, you just need to create in the controller a property where you want to store your data and set this property to the value. So it's not like on Android or Windows Phone where you, when you perform the navigation, you pass the parameter to the navigation method, but in this case you are setting the property directly in the controller of the destination view. So it's like if in Android we would have set the property of the a property of the destination activity, or in Windows Phone a property of the destination page. Because in this case, the in Android and in Windows Phone, it wouldn't be possible because the page, it's not in the object of the page, it's not initialized until the navigation is performed. Here instead, you get this method that is called right before, and you have a reference to the destination. Another thing you can do is add the conditional navigation. So It applies in case you need to perform a navigation only in some cases. So let's say that you have a login page and the user can move on to the main page only if he has wrote something in the username and password field. So in this case you have another method that you can override, which is called should perform segue, and to a segue you can assign an identifier. So if you in your storyboard you have multiple segues, you can understand which one is being triggered. In this case, if it's triggered the segue to the main page, we check the value of the property, and if the value is correct, so the password is password, very, very creative, we return true, otherwise we return false. The method returns a bool which tells to iOS if or not to perform the navigation. I can't show you the demo, but at least I can show you some code. So let me open the project here. Thank you. as you can see, now it's trying to connect to the server. The problem, this is how the pairing is made. So the first time you connect a Mac to a Windows machine, it will ask you for a PIN. The problem is that right now my cloud machine was connected to the previous installation of the computer. Now it's asking for me to do again the pairing. The problem is that when I press some pair, it should give me a new PIN instead of Xamarin BuildOS is crashing. I don't know why. However, this is a project. As you can see, I have a storyboard here. If I double click it on it, it will open it with the designer. In my case, it won't work because I'm not connected to a Mac. He likes to remind me. But this is, for example, the view controller that is connected to the view. So the main page, the main view of our application is connected to a root view controller, which inherits from the UI view controller class. And as you can see, you have here some methods to manage the application the page lifecycle. So view appear, view will appear, view did appear, view did load. So you can intercept the various stages of the application. And as you can see, the application goes into another page, which is called the detail view. And when the view is appearing, I'm changing the text of a label. The problem is that, as I told you before, as you can see, from here there's no trace of navigation. You can't say, you don't have a way to say, okay, this page is navigating, because you have no references of a segue in the code. I know it just because I did it. So I know that in the storyboard there's a segue between the two elements. And also this connection, name label, is a control that I visually dragged into the page, and I went to the properties and I said that the DD is name text. But again, I don't have a way to express this with XML or something similar. Or I use the designer, or I manually create the controls in code. Let me see if I can find an image. So when you are in the visual editor, here you have the reference of the web of the view controller. There's a little icon here. When you tap here, you go into the properties and you see a property which tells which is the class that is managing this view controller, and you need to set it there. The designer is smart enough that if you create a new scene and you don't have a controller yet, you can simply write the name of the controller in the field, and Xamarin will generate the class for you, so you don't have to manually add a new item. Again, I'm sorry, I understand that these things are hard to understand without the designer. We've already seen this briefly, so you have some methods to control the various ways how the application, the view is working. So you have view did load, which is launched when the controller has loaded the view, has finished to load the view. You have a view will appear instead when the page of the content is about to appear, or the opposite, which is view will disappear, the page content is about to go away. And then you have also view did appear and view did disappear, which instead happens when the page content is already appeared or disappeared. Alerts, we see them in Android, let's see them in iOS. If you target a pre-iOS 8 device, this is the way to do it. So you create a new alert view and simply set some properties, title, message. You can define a custom event handler, so if you want to do something when the button is clicked. But things have changed after iOS 8, so you need to use the UI alert controller if you want something like this, which appears in the middle of the page. Or if you want something like this, UI action sheet, which is a set of options that comes out from the bottom of the page. They are more or less the same, but maybe these are used more to alert the user to something, about something. This instead to provide the choice for the user to do some operations.
Let's see some code. Maybe placed it here.
Okay. This is using the new UI alert controller.
So this is, let me see if I can make the code easier to read by splitting on multiple lines.
Okay. As you can see, you have you create an UI alert controller object, and you pass the style, the title, the message, stuff like that. And then for every button you want to add to the alert, you need to create a UI alert action with the style, the label of the button, and here I place it as null, but this is the null should be the event handler that manages what you want to do when the button is clicked. In this case, since it's null, the alert will be simply dismissed. And then you have an add action method. You can add multiple action methods. It will add multiple buttons. And then you can call the present view controller method, which is part of the UI view controller base class. And you pass, if you want, animation handler and the alert controller you have just created. Also, in iOS, you have built-in applications. So like we've seen with Android for the activities, for the intents. But the approach is the same of Windows and Windows Phone. So custom, so built-in application register a URI, and you can call this URI and let the phone manages the application which is connected to that URI. In this case, since we are opening an HTTP URI, it will open the browser, and you can do it simply by shared application. UI application.shared application.openurl. You have also a method to detect if that operation can be performed on that device. And here comes the fun. Lists are one of the most complex things that I ever seen in a platform, meaning that lists, as we've seen before, is one of the core requirements of an application. It's almost impossible to find an application that doesn't have any collection of data. And on iOS, they are extremely complicated to create compared to Android and Windows. Luckily, Xamarin helps you a lot by providing some classes that will reduce the pain in dealing with classes. So if you are a native iOS developer, you usually deal with the UI table view control, which is the visual control that displays the table, the UI table view cell, which is the visual control that renders the single row of the table, and then you have the UI view table data source and the UI table view delegate, which are two classes that are used to manage the UI view table data source, the data source of the data of the table, and the UI table view delegate to manage all the things that can happen connected, all the interaction with the table. Xamarin embeds these two classes into one called the UI table view source, which is much more simpler to implement and to manage, especially from a .NET developer point of view. So it's an approach much more familiar and simple to understand. You have also some other things to learn to use tables. One of them is the concept of NSIndexPath, which is a property that identifies a specific element of the table, and we're going to use it a lot because also iOS is based on reuse, on cell reuse. so saving memory by reusing older cells. And then you have the UI table view controller, which is a specific controller for a page that has a UI table view. So if you want to use a UI table view, you don't have a UI view controller that manages your page, but you have a UI table view controller. So if you want your page to display just the list, it will be simple because you have a UI table view specific view in the designer, which is connected to a UI table view controller. If you want to have a UI table page that other than the UI table view contains other elements, good luck. It's a little bit more complicated because you need to create a sort of mix between the UI table view controller and the UI view controller, so it's not that straightforward. Also in this case you have some default layouts that are available to developers. So if you want to create a simple list, you have these four layouts that are ready out of the box. So you just need, okay, I want to use this layout, and you'll provide the collection you want to display, and you will take care to arrange things in the proper way. How to create a UI table view source? So the class that will allows you to implement the data you want to display. A UI table view source requires to implement the method, specifically the method getCell, which is similar to the one we've seen in Android that was called getView. So it's a way, it's the method that is called when the list is rendered and the UI table view needs to render a cell. So in this method, we are going to see more or less what we've seen with Android. So we'll get a reference to a cell, we'll ask to iOS to get an existing cell. If there isn't an existing cell, we'll create a new one, and then we will go and populate the controls we've placed in the cell to display our data. So the difference between a custom and a table layout and a built-in style is that, for example, this default layout has an image and a text. So when we create the cell in the getCell method, we will have access to that image and that text. Cell reuse, this is the simple approach to use the cell reuse. Every cell is identified by a unique identifier in the application, so you have the same identifier applied to every cell, to every UI table view cell. Remember that the UI table view is a collection of UI table view cell, and the first thing we do is that we call the queue reusable cell from the table view, passing the identifier of our cell. The identifier is a string. So for it can be cell, it can be my cell, it can be Murphy, it can be whatever you want. It's just important that you use it only in, you always use the same for that specific table. And if you have another page with another table, you use another identifier. If this operation fails, the cell will be null, which means that we need to create a new cell. And we do it by creating a new UI table view cell, and then here you can see that we pass the identifier, which is the same, and the style we want to use. In this case, we are using a default style, so we are using UI table view cell style dot default. And then, now that we have the cell, we can change the content of the cell. So the cell, in this case, since we are using this default style, the cell has a label called text label. So by calling, we are able to grab a reference to this label and set the text property. So this way we are changing this. We are defining the text of this. And as you can see, the getCell method receives as input a NSIndexPath object, which is the index of the selected item. and the index of the selected item has a property called row, which is the index of the array. So in this case we are just grabbing from our collection the element that has been requested by the user. Starting from iOS 6, there's a new way to manage the salary usage, which works best. It's not that different, but it saves you to check if the cell is null or not. Because basically you have the identifier, and my cell ID is a property with this identifier, and you call the QReusable cell method, and it will automatically return you a cell new or reused. So you don't have to check and create a new one, because it will automatically create a new one for you if there aren't any cells left in the queue. There are also a couple of additional supported features, which I won't go deep into this session, just to tell you that they are available. They need a little bit more work, because you need to customize the data source, but you can have grouped cells, you can have index, or you can have the edit mode. So you can provide a way to the user to do some things directly on the collection, like deleting an item, rearranging the order of the items, and so on. So I can show you the storyboard, but I can show you table view sample. I can show you that how to create a table view source. So here I created a table view source, which as you can see inherits from UI table view source, and I have a table items collection, which is which I receive in input, and basically it's a way for me to pass from the view controller the collection I want to display with this source. And then I implement the get cell method and the rows in section. Rows in section, it's a way to define the number of rows that are available for each section. If, like in this case, it's a plain list, so it's not grouped, the rows in section is equal to the length of the collection. And then in the get cell method, I start to use the queue reusable cell approach. So I ask for a new cell, and in return I get a UI table view cell, which can be a new one or a reused one, and then I go and change the text of the property. When I go into the master controller, so the root controller of the main view, you can see that this controller inherits from UI table view controller, and as such the table view is embedded into the page. So I don't have to add a UI table view control, it's just there, and I can access to it using the table view property. I simply need to set as source a new table view item source, and a new table view source. In this case, this is the class I've created, and it accepts as parameter a list of strings. Now you have two options to manage the selection of an item in the list. The first one, let me see if I have some slides for that. No, custom layout, okay. I can use segues. So I can go in the designer and click on the view cell that the designer shows me and drag the arrow on another page. Then what I can do is that in the prepare for segue, I create a method that takes the selected item and prepares the controller. So if I go in the data view controller, you can see that the method that is called, which is set data item. Basically what does it is that I have an object here, and I grab the object that is passed from the other controller and I set it here. So it's simply a way to get the selected item here. And then I simply perform the navigation. So when the user will be redirected to the other page, I will have here a reference to the item that was selected. So for example, here what I do when the view is loaded is that
I call this method and I set the text property of a label that I've placed in this destination, this detail view, with the value that I've assigned from the previous controller. The other approach you have, if you want to manage a single selection, for example, you want to display an alert when the user taps on it, you have another option, which is when your controller inherits from UI table view controller, you have the chance to override a method called it's in the table view source, which is called row selected. So when the user taps, this method is called. In this case, I'm creating just a UI alert controller and displaying an alert to the user. I just wanted to show you that since we are in a source right now, you don't have access to the present view controller method because the source, it's not a UI view controller. So what I did to solve this problem is that here, when I create a new table view source, I have added a second parameter, which is the current view controller. So when I go here, you can see that in the public constructor, I have not just the list of items, but I have also the parent controller. This way, when I want to display the alert, I can call the parent view controller method on the parent controller, which reference I've saved. Everything is clear? Do you like it? Custom layout. So everything is good, more or less, everything is cool, more or less, but we have just four built-in styles. We want to do more, we want to have custom layouts. The solution to achieve this is to create a custom cell. So instead of using a UI table view cell, we will use our cell class and we will define how it looks like. You can do it both in code or with Designer, as everything on iOS. So you can go create a new custom cell class and start typing a new label, new image, place it here. Or you can go in the Designer, like in the screenshot I posted. As you can see, on the top there's my custom, my cell, and I decide to put a label on the left and a label on the right. If the demo worked, it should have displayed, my goal was to display the name of the character and one a year, the year of the first appearance of the character in the comics on the right. So basically when you add to the designer a new table view, you get that UI table view cell, but in the properties of the cell, instead of saying that it's a UI table view, it will be your custom class. So what happens is that when you ask for the queue, so when you ask to the list for a new cell, you don't ask anymore for a UI table view cell, but you ask for a character cell view, which is the controller of your view. You can think about the cell, the custom cell, as a view. So the custom cell is designed in the designer, but the custom cell has a controller behind it, which manages the data that needs to be displayed. So in this case, what I have, no, Android doesn't interest us anymore. What I have is that here, table view custom cell, I have always my table view source, with the difference that now it's using the character cell view. I have my root view controller, which is a UI table view controller, which does the same thing, which is, in this case, I'm working not anymore with strings, but with complex objects, so I have a character object. And I create a new table view source with my collection, and I set it as source of the table view. But if I would have been able to open my storyboard, I would have seen that in my UI table view, I would have a UI table view cell, which is connected to a controller called the character cell view. In fact, you can see that it inherits from UI table view cell. So what happens is that when I get here a reference to the selected item, I call the update character method on the cell, and the update character method on the cell simply takes a reference to the name text, year text, which are the two labels that I've placed on the left, on the right, and then go and change the text property with the values of the selected, of the items that is being rendered at that moment. So it's not that bad in the end. It's not so complicated. Files. Also in this case, you can leverage all the basic .NET APIs. So you can use all the things we've seen before when we talked with about Android. The difference is how iOS manages the locations where you can place the data. So you can have, basically on iOS you have the documents folder, which is the base folder where all the data is stored. And inside the documents folder you can have subfolders, which are different ways to manage the data. In the configuration file, which is the info.plist, you can enable the property called UI file sharing enabled, which means that all the data that you place in the documents folder can be accessed by the user using iTunes. So when the user connects the phone to the device, the phone to the Mac, he will have a list of apps, and he will have a file sharing tab with all the list of the apps he has installed, which are using this feature. And then you can start grabbing the file from the content. For example, the iWork apps use this approach to allow users to create local files and then download them on their computers if you don't want to use the cloud. Because one difference between Android, between iOS and Android and Windows Phone is that iOS doesn't expose the file system to the computer. So when you connect using the USB your device to the PC or to the Mac, you don't see the file system. You see just the photos, but you don't have access to documents, to anything. iTunes is the only way to get data from the iPhone. For example, also music. If you want to upload an album to your phone, to load an album on your phone, you need to use iTunes. You can't copy and paste the music on your phone. Android gives you complete access, so when you connect the phone, you see everything. Windows Phone is in the middle, so you don't have access to the storage of the apps, you don't have access to the system, you don't have access to all the critical folders, but you have access to all the custom created content, so music, photo, picture, documents, you can just drag and drop from Explorer. Inside the documents folder you have some different libraries. The main one is called library, and it's the local storage of the application. So everything you need to maintain across one execution and the other is stored in the library. The content of the library is automatically saved on iCloud during the backup. So this is something important to keep in mind when you are creating an iOS application. The library folder is the perfect place where to save data that is generated by the user. So an image, a document, stuff like that. If it's data that it's downloaded from the web, and when the app is reinstalled because the user changes the device or erases the current one, you would need a new way to download it, it's not the best place where to save it. So for example, if you are Spotify, library is not the best place where to download the streaming music for offline usages. Because if you change your phone, you will have to download it again. You don't add any value in having the music there. While a document generated by the user, yes, because it's not something that can be re-downloaded. I'm stressing you on this because the space on iCloud is not unlimited. If the user wants to expand the storage, he needs to pay.
So if he needs to pay because he has a lot of apps and he wants to backup all of them, it's okay. But if he needs to pay because we as developers we have done the we haven't done the right thing and we are saving the data in the incorrect folder, well, it's not that great. For this scenarios, it's you can use the cache folder, for example, which can be deleted by iOS in case the space is going low, but only if the app is not running. So it can't happen that you are listening to your Spotify music and stop playing because iOS deleted it for you. It deletes, it cleans the space only if needed and only when the app is not running and it's not backed up. Then you have a preferences library, which is a simple way to manage settings. So if you have to manage the settings for some things, it's the simplest way to do that. The demo I will show you, at least the code, as you can see, the code is exactly the same. No, I'm trying to open something I can't. The demo is exactly the same we've seen before for Android. So file write all text to write some text and file read all text to read some text. In this case, the only difference compared to Android is that I'm getting access to the with this weird code. Let me split in a couple of lines. I'm getting access to the documents folder of the application, so the storage of the application. And then I combine it with my file name and I save it. Here you can see also how you can manage the user interaction. And on native iOS development, you have the concept of outlet and actions, which means that when you want to, you have a button and you want to manage the button, you need to drag lines again. So you need to drag a line from the control the button to the event, touch at pressed, for example, which is the event that gets triggered. And then in the view controller, you have to subscribe the outlet to this, which is a reference to this line you have created, and manage the event there. Xamarin makes this more user-friendly for .NET developers because it works like code behind. So I go in the designer, I double-click on the button, and I get this event, which I can simply manage. So what I've done in the designer when the designer was working is that I drag the two buttons, I double click on them, and then I wrote some code inside the handlers that Xamarin generated for me. So we're done for Xamarin and iOS. If you have questions, I'm here. If you don't have any questions, maybe we can take a break and then we'll resume with Xamarin Forms, which will be, I hope, more exciting because the Windows Phone Emulator is working. So I can show you some code for real.